Yeah. Okay. Just one second. I need to. To find a document. Okay, wait. So first of all, okay, on the day that I don't have my act together, I need to thank a bunch of sponsors. If I could pull this up. Any luck? I'm really hurrying. You can hear me. Hall. All right. Can anybody hear me? David, can you? Yeah, good. Okay. Really sorry for the delay. Computer problems. Okay. So first of all, I want to thank the people who sponsored today's shiur, Karen and David Federbush, in commemoration of Karen's father's yard site, second yard site. Moshe Nassan, I guess. Ben Menachem Mendel. I had the privilege of knowing Karen's father. He was a great help to my parents when they made Aliyah. His neshama should have an Aliyah, and also a sponsor anonymously for the yard site of Sarah Bas Avram, Nachum Moshe, and of Gedalia ben Avraham, Nachum Moshe. Okay, thank you to everybody. Today's shiur is, I think, going to be an interesting one. I just lost you. Okay. I was just looking through the parasha. Obviously, Kedoshim has tons and tons of mitzvos and fascinating mitzvos. And Lo Sa'amod al Dam Re'echa was one we've never spoken about. And then I got this cute idea. Oh, you know, Lo Sa'amod al Dam Re'echa, it sounds like this Good Samaritan law. Because if you look it up online, you know, people talk about the responsibility to help others in terms of what's known as the Good Samaritan. And I will admit my ignorance. I did not, you know, Good Samaritan is the name of a hospital. Sounds like people who do good deeds. I didn't really know that it's massively anti-Semitic and that it's based in a book I have not yet read called Luke. And it's a parable that you know, and it's meant to hurt us. And I want to talk about that in the context of the mitzvah of Lo Ta'amod al Dam Re'echa, because I think that there really is a connection. And I think there are things going on within this mitzvah that may be traced historically to the fact that it was a euphemism, that the Good Samaritan was a euphemism for the fact that, you know, Jews just focus on halacha and, God forbid, you know, don't care about other human beings, et cetera, et cetera. Traditional, you know, Christian claims against polemics, thank you, against Jews. So let's pull up the source sheet and let's get started. The pasuk says in source number one in our parasha, Lo telech rachil ba'amecha, lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. Okay, it's within the context of a series of sort of declaratory halachos. You know, v'yahavta re'echa kamocha, lo sisnas achicho bilvavecha, hocheach tochich es amisecha, lo telech rachil ba'amecha. They're all beinam lechaveros. And then you have in there, lo ta'amod al dam re'echa, ani Hashem. So as we've seen before, whenever you see ani Hashem, you know, any pasuk in the Torah could have ended with ani Hashem. So Chazal always point out that it's a davar hamasur lelev. When it says ani Hashem, it's something that, for example, you could claim that you didn't do. For example, the classic case of lifnei iver lo titein michshol. Chazal say it means don't give bad advice to somebody who doesn't know any better. Okay, so the drasha is I would say no, I thought, you know, investing in Twitter really was a good idea. This guy Musk seems like a smart guy, you know, but in fact you knew it was an idiotic idea because he's a lunatic. Okay, I'm not giving investment advice now. I'm just using current events to spice up the share, as I like to do. Okay, so the answer is Ani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows. He looks in your heart and he knows whether you intended it or not. So let's take our example. Lo tamar al dam reyacha. Presumably, it means exactly what it says. Don't stand by while somebody else's blood is being spilled. So what's a classic example? You know, I'm walking along and God forbid, I see a girl drowning in a pond. Okay, but it happens to be that it's the winter and it's cold and I have new shoes. So I might claim I didn't see her. So the drush is no, Ani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows whether you saw her or not and whether you know how to swim. And if so, you're supposed to jump in. And that's Rashi quoting the Midrash Halacha on our Pasuk. Lo tamar al dam reyacha, lirot bimitato, va'ata yachol lahatzilo. Rash, this is exactly what you would think. It's a situation you're not allowed to stand idly by while somebody dies when you have the ability to save them. Kigon tovea binahar, a person's drowning in a river. V'chaya o listim ba'imalav, or he's being attacked by an animal. If you could help the person in that situation and you don't, that's a violation of the Isser d'oraisa of lo ta'amod al dam reyacha. Now, for Rashi, it's pretty clear that this is limited to actual dam reyecha, to blood, right? To somebody's physical health. It's a life-threatening situation. But in theory, if we just asked ourselves, what are the possible lo tamod al dam reyecha, it could have been broader than that, right? How much broader could it be? It could be any harm to a friend, or maybe the word dam has another meaning, right? It does have another meaning. Damim means blood, and damim also means money. So it happens to be that it's the Rambam who disagrees with Rashi. The Rambam thinks that the mitzvah, the lotase of lota moral dam reyecha, is much broader than just physical harm. Here's the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs in source number 2, mitzvah resh tzadi zayin. He shehiz hiranu mehi trashel bahatzalat nefesh echad mi Yisrael kishenirehu bisakanat hamavet. And hear the words, oh hahefseid, says the Rambam, we're not allowed to stand idly by while somebody's life is being threatened, it was at risk, or somebody's losing money. So if you see your neighbor's neighbor's hose is on, and he's traveling. His backyard is being flooded. So the Rambam would say that's a case of lo ta'amod al dam reyecha. You see him losing money, right? You see his money at risk, and you don't do anything about it. That also is included in the Isser D'oraisa of lo ta'amod al dam reyecha. Now, what's the condition? What makes this an interesting mitzvah is, says the Rambam, v'yihye lanu yicholet lahatzilo. It has to be that you have the ability to help the person. So, for example, if you can't swim, then there's no benefit to jumping in to save the little girl. And, you know, if you see some structural damage to your neighbor's house, but you have no carpentry skills, so then there's not much you can do. Perhaps. We'll get back to that in a second. Okay, so now the Rambam gives us an example. Kimo shiyihye tovea b'mayim, va'anachnu neida lischot. The Rambam says, you see somebody drowning, and you know how to swim. I'll bet anything the Rambam knew how to swim. I'm just saying that. I don't know for sure. I'll bet anything he did. V'nucha lahatzilo, right? the mitzvah only applies if you can actually help. O yihyeh goy mishtadel laharog, va'anachnu nuchal levatel machshavto, o lidchot mimenu lizko. Or, you know, it's the old days, the government is going to take somebody's property. Now you have influence with a minister in the government. So says the Rambam, you have an obligation to try to exercise your influence to save this guy's house. Now, a person who doesn't have any influence with the government, he can say Tehillim. He can be sympathetic. He can do what he can. But the Rambam says the mitzvah of Lo Tamor al Dam Re'echa applies if you can make a difference. Uba'aha azhara mehi manala hatzilo. Says the Rambam, that's our puzzle. You're not allowed to stand by if you can help. Your friend is in the middle of a court case. You have exculpatory testimony, either, you know, to get him off or to help him. You know, he's being sued for money and you have information. A person who doesn't step forward to share that information is in violation of the Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Tamor al Dam Re'echa. Why? Says the Rambam. Ki hu ro'e mamon chavero oved, because he sees his friend losing money. V'hu yachol lahachziro elav ba'omro ha'emet. He's not lying. He can testify honestly and save his friend money. That's, and he chooses not to do it. That's a violation of Lo Ta'amod al Dam Re'echa. Kvar ba bezeha inyan gam kein im lo yagid v'nasa avono. There's another Isser D'Oraisa of im lo yagid v'nasa avono. If you could testify and you choose not to, and you could help one of the sides, you're in violation of another Isser D'Oraisa. It happens to be that in Kiddushim in particular, there's a lot of overlap of mitzvos. So for example, you could argue that, hey, doesn't Lo Tamor al Dam Re'echa, isn't it included in Lo Tisnas Achicha Bilvavecha? Isn't it included in V'ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha? Isn't it included? Yes. The answer is that there's a lot of overlap in the mitzvos Beinam L'Chaveiro, and it could be that Lo Tamor al Dam Re'echa exists, it was mostly covered by others, but presumably it has something in addition to teach us. For example, one of the things it might teach us is whenever you jump, let's say, you know, you were a lifeguard in Camp Raleigh for 15 years, right? You're a great swimmer. But when you jump in a river to save a little girl who's drowning, there's no question that you've put yourself at a risk that you weren't at if you stood on the banks. And it could be that that's not covered by the V'ahavta L'Re'echa Kamocha, but that is covered by the mitzvah of Lo Tamor al Dam Re'echa, in which even if you're put at some additional risk, you're still chayev to do it. Again, it has to be the case that you can help. It has to be the case that you're likely to succeed. There's no mitzvah in you also committing suicide by jumping into a river. But there's no question at the same time that when you jump into a river, even if you're the world's greatest swimmer, you're at risk. You're at a risk that you weren't before. And that's certainly part of the mitzvah of Lo Ta'amod al Dam Re'echa. Okay, this isn't just, so the machlokas Rashi in the Rambam is simply how narrowly or how broadly do I understand this mitzvah? Rashi says, no, it has to do with bodily harm, right? If somebody's life is at risk, there's a mitzvah of Lo Ta'amod al Dam Re'echa. The Rambam says, no, it's much broader than that. It's any situation in which somebody else is at risk, either physically or monetarily, or maybe even, you know, in other cases. It's hard to think of an example off the top of my head. Says the Rambam, any situation in which you can help and you choose not to, you are in violation of the Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Ta'amod al Dam Re'echa. This is not just the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos. The Rambam codifies this in the Yad HaChazaka, and source number 3 in Hilchos Rotzeach v'Shmiras HaNefesh, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Daled, the Rambam says as follows: Kol Hayachol Lahatzil V'lo Hitzil. If you could have saved and you choose not to, Over Al Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa. You're in violation of the Isser D'Oraisa of Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa. V'chein ha-ro'ed chaveiro tobea bayam. You see your friend drowning. O listim ba'im alav, or he's being robbed. O chayara ba'a alav. V'yachol lahatzilo hu ba'atzmo. And you could save the person. Now the Rambam says something really, really important. O sheyiskor acherim lahatzilo. It doesn't necessarily mean that you can do it yourself. You're standing on the banks of a river. You don't know how to swim. And there's a girl, God forbid, drowning in the river. And there's a guy next to you. And he looks, he's wearing, you know, a Michigan swim club sweatshirt. You know this guy can swim. He looks like he can swim. So you say, you know, could you jump in and save her? And he's like, I don't know, for $1,000 I could. The Rambam says you have to pay him. The obligation of lo ta'amod al dam ra'echa extends to hiring people, to spending your own money to save somebody else's life or somebody else's money. Another example. You heard people plotting against your friend. O tomim lo pach, or they're trying to trap him in something. V'lo gila ozen chaveiro hodio. And you didn't share with your friend, you know, you should be really, really careful. This guy's out for you. O sheyada begoy, o ba'anas shehu kovel al chaveiro v'yachol lefaiso biglal chaveiro, u'lahastir mashe bilvavo v'lo piso. Or you know that, you know, the mayor has it in for this guy, and you could tell the mayor he's wrong. This guy's really a nice guy. He didn't mean it. And you don't do that. V'chol kiyotze bidvarim elu. Says the Rambam, in almost every circumstance, when you can help another Jew and you don't, you're in violation of an Isra D'Oraisa of Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'echa, a really, really broad mitzvah, according to the Rambam. Okay, now, what's the punishment for this mitzvah, for this Aveira? Well, it's a lo taseh. So generally speaking, lo taseh's get makos, but it's a lo taseh she'ein bo maisa, right? And the rule is that a lav she'ein bo maisa does not get makos. Now, this is true across the entirety of halacha. That's just the basics, that generally speaking, a lav, you get makos, that's a punishment, unless it's really bad when you get karis or misa. But you don't get makos if it's a lav shein bo maisa. There are other technicalities. You don't get makos if it's a lav anitak la'aseh, for example, right? So if you stole, you don't get makos. Why not? Because there's a mitzvah sa'aseh v'heshiv ha'sagzeila asher gazal. This is true across all of halacha. Nevertheless, the Rambam here goes out of his way in halacha tezayin to add something that I think, you know, is unusual in the Rambam. It's worth stopping at and asking ourselves what exactly is going on. Here's the Rambam Halacha Tazayin. He says, "Afal pi she'ein lokin alavin elu mipnei she'ein bohem maisa." Even though lo tamor adam reyach is a classic lo taseh, which does not have an action associated with it, all you did was nothing. So therefore, Bezdin cannot punish you with makos. The Rambam tells us, chamurim hein. Nevertheless, don't think that that's a function of the fact that they're not important. They're really important. Shekol ha-me'abed nefesh achat mi-Yisrael, ki'ilu ibed kol ha'olam kulo. Because a person who could have saved somebody and didn't, it's like he destroyed the whole world. V'chol ha-me'kayem nefesh achat mi-Yisrael, and if you save a life, ki'ilu kiyem kol ha'olam kulo. Now, this is not really a halacha, and it doesn't really belong in the Rambam. This is like an editorial comment, right? And it's unusual. And you know, when you're reading through these halachos, you can't help but stop and say, "Wow, this is odd. Why does the Rambam choose this mitzvah of lo tam al dam reyecha to stop and decide to editorialize on the fact that, despite the fact that it's not a lav sheyesh bo maisa, so it doesn't get makos, it's a really, really important mitzvah." Okay, here's what I want to suggest, with no proof and I am happy for people to reject it. That's the social compact we have. I say what I think. People can agree or disagree. Now we come back to this new thing I'm obsessed with, the Good Samaritan. Okay, let me fill you in on what this is. Okay, first a little background. Samaritans in Hebrew are Shomronim. When Sanherib conquered, you know, the whole Middle East, he bilbel et ha'umot. What he did was, much like what Yosef HaTzadik did in Mitzrayim, he moved whole populations from place to place so that they would understand that they're not really sovereign. So when the 10 tribes were lost to us, Sanherib moved the Shomronim, the Samaritans, into the Shomron to occupy that land. Now, these people were not Jewish, let alone, you know, from, but apparently, you know, in the old days, you kind of obeyed the local god. Like, why not? You know, couldn't hurt. So they sort of kept the Torah. But they also, you know, at some point decided that, hey, maybe they're the authentic Jews. Obviously, forerunners to Christians, who later on claimed that they were the authentic Jews. Okay? So when, I'm sorry for keep saying the name, when Jesus uses a Samaritan in a parable, he's sticking it to us because he knows, you know, that we don't like them. Okay? The story is as follows. He was apparently challenged by some lawyer. I guess even in the New Testament, lawyers are bad people. Okay? You know, about who you're supposed to love and who your neighbor is. And he told him the following parable, which apparently is not a true story, but it's more painful because he made it up. And the story is that, you know, this traveler was going down from Yerushalayim to Yericho. Okay? Anybody who's ever traveled there, I mean, you can't go to Yericho anymore, but anybody who's traveled there knows it's a very steep, windy road. Apparently, people have known this, you know, since the time of Baal Shani. And it's a dangerous road because people can, you know, can ambush you there. The Kachava to this guy, he was ambushed. They robbed him. They beat him. And he was, you know, he was close to death and he's lying at the side of the road. And wouldn't you know it, a Kohen comes by, but he doesn't stop. And a Levi comes by, but he doesn't stop. But then a Samaritan comes by and he stops, and at great personal cost, he helps this guy. And that goes to show, you know, that Jews care only about halacha, God forbid, and they don't care about human lives. And, you know, it goes to show all the things that they're claiming are negative about Judaism. And the Good Samaritan was a well-known, you know, anti-Semitic attack on Judaism. And I suspect that the Rambam knew it. Yes, the Rambam lived in Islam, but he knew Christianity also. I have no reason to think that Islam didn't use this as well. I think the Rambam felt the need to say, hey, stop with the silly attacks. Lo ta'amod al dam re'echa pre-existed all your other religions. Okay? And the fact that you don't get makos for it is not because it's not a fundamental, foundational principle in Judaism. It is. It just happens to be. It's a lav shein bo maisa. But I feel like the Rambam went out of his way to editorialize dafka on lo tamod al dam re'echa because he knew that this was, you know, something that was used against us in the Middle Ages over and over again to try to prove that, you know, values, God forbid, don't matter to from Jews. You know, they only care about Tuma and Tara. Now, by the way, let's be clear. This is a criticism of us that exists in the Gemara. The Gemara has a case where Cohen, you know, they killed somebody in the Mikdash and they wanted to get the knife out of him before it became Tamei Mace. You know, in the wrong application of halacha, a person might improperly value Tuma and Tara over human life. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I think it was such a common attack on us that the Rambam felt the need to respond. And the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka really uncharacteristically editorializes and says, hey, is anybody paying attention and noticing? This is a really, really important mitzvah for Jews. And if you're going to claim, apparently people claimed, well, how important could it be if you don't get makos? The Rambam said that's a function of our system of halacha. That's not a function of whether it's important or not.
Ellie?
Yes.
But he does point out that it was a Kohen and a Levi, which do have to maintain their purity. So
not in the face of a mace mitzvah.
No, but it does at least, it does give some support to that. The other question, I think, is you said earlier that we should only do this for a fellow Jew. If this guy was a Samaritan or whoever it was on the side, a non-Jew, then our rules would not require us to take care of this guy. So there is a certain...
Let's be clear. The fact that the narrow mitzvah applies to Jews doesn't mean that the value can't be expanded upon. You're absolutely right. I said it because I meant it. And while it came out of my mouth, I thought someone is going to call me on this, and it's fair. And the fact that it's Jesus himself who's calling me on this makes complete sense. But I don't think it's fair to say that because the narrow halachic definition of the mitzvah applies to Jews. Yes, if God forbid you watched a Gentile girl drown and you could have saved her, you're not in violation of the narrowly defined mitzvah del reisav lo tamal adam reacha. But you're a bad person and you shouldn't get shlishi, and you know you should know better. But you know, I'm trying to, I'm not going to cheat. You're absolutely right. The halacha is the halacha, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to say that it expands to you shouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think you absolutely should. I think it's clear that you should. I think the Rambam would say that you should,
mm-hmm.
but the Rambam is not going to change the mitzvah.
And there's halachic support for why we should as well. The same reason why a doctor is required to help a non-Jew, right?
Good.
For our own sake.
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed. Okay. Let's go on. Let's go on to the chinuch, a little rationale. Classic Sefer HaChinuch. Why is this such a mitzvah? The chinuch is a big believer in God doesn't just want a world. God wants a civilized world in which society functions properly. So the chinuch says something that each of us could have said. It's just he said it. Source number four. Shoresh mitzvah zo yadua. The rationale for this mitzvah of lo tam al dam reach is clear. Ki kemo sheyatzil ha'echad et chaveiro. Well, if I save you, if I protect your property, kein chavero yatziloto, well, then you'll do the same thing for me. V'yit yashev ha'olam b'kach, and the world will be settled. The world will be civilized. V'hakel chafetz b'yishuvo, ki lashevet yitzara. God created a world in which, according to the chinuch, society functions. Neighbors are nice to each other. People get along. People help each other. And the chinuch says, basically, the only way for that to work is for somebody to go first. Right? If your neighbor helps you, then obviously you're much more likely to help your neighbor. And so the chinuch sees it within the broad rubric of, you know, settling the world, creating societies in which people do this. Or said a different way, legislating what are known as Good Samaritan laws. Okay, there are two types of Good Samaritan laws. You should know this. Federal law in America doesn't have a Good Samaritan law. The ones that exist in America and in various states, I didn't look up how many states, it's the minority, but it exists. I don't know if it's in New Jersey. They're protective, by which I mean, you know, you're a doctor and you stop at the site of a crash, right? And so the law tries to protect you from being sued because apparently, you know, people sometimes repay good with bad. But there's another type of Good Samaritan law that I want to get to at the end, which exists in the state of Israel. And that's this. That's a law that says you are obligated to help your neighbor if you can. Right? We have to ask ourselves, if we control society, if you were establishing a new community, if the people on this shir, you know, were in charge of Teaneck and we could pass such a law, would we? You know, would you want to live in a... The chinuch says, yeah, you should. One of the first things you want to do is to build a society in which people have to help each other. And what better way to do that, right, than to pass such a law? I don't want to get too caught up in this, but this is the theme of the last Seinfeld, okay, where they watched a crime being committed and they laughed and they didn't, you know, in the show, I don't know if it's true, Massachusetts had a law, a Good Samaritan law that requires you to help. And they didn't help. And therefore, you know, they were thrown in jail. Okay. It's an idea that exists out there. Now, before I come back to the bigger point, there's a unique monetary issue here. The Rambam had mentioned that part of the mitzvah is paying somebody to intervene to try to help your neighbor or the person who's at risk. Okay. What happens if you do that? What happens if the person you helped happens to be the daughter of Elon Musk? Okay, not to beat this to death, but I've heard that he has more money than we do. So now you paid some guy $5,000 to save his daughter. So you say to him, you know, I just paid $5,000 to save your daughter. I'd like you to pay me back. Is that fair? And is he obligated? So says the Rosh, it's a famous sheet and source number 5. V'hanitzol chayav lifroa lamatzil masha hotzi. Yes, there is a halachic obligation on the part of your neighbor who you saved to pay you back the money that you spent. And the Rush has a fancy limud from a Gemara that seems to make clear that you can't save yourself with somebody else's money, which means people are not obligated to actually spend money to save your life, or said a different way, they're obligated on condition that you pay them back, right? If you have the money, the Rush says, they have a claim in Beis Din against you and you're obligated to pay them back. Now, how unlimited is that obligation, right? The guy standing next to the river who you could tell knows how to swim, he doesn't say, fine, I'll do it for $5,000. He says, I'll do it for $2 million. Okay, now that's beyond us. Or let's say you actually have a 401k that has $2 million in it. You could do it. It would bankrupt you, but you could do it. What's your obligation? How much money do you have to spend to not be in violation of the Isra of Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Re'acha? Okay, so first of all, in terms of the repayment, look at source number 6. The Rama says in Choshen Mishpat, Reish Samach Dalet, V'chein, Kal Adam Sha'oseim Chavera Pu'ula Otova, a person who helps his friend, Lo Yuchal Lomar, B'chinam Asita Imadi Horil Velot Sibiticha. I didn't ask you to jump in. I didn't ask you to pay the other guy to save my daughter. Therefore, I don't have to pay you back. Says the Rama, no. Elat sarich litein lo secharo. You are obligated to pay your friend back for the money that he spent trying to save you. Now, how much money do you have to spend? How much do you have to put yourself at risk? So it turns out, and I think we know this already, there are limitations in halacha. Look at source number 7, the Shulchan Aruch. In Or HaChaim Hilchos Lulav Tuf Resh Nun Vav says as follows. This is the Rama again. Umi she'ein lo etrog. It's Erev Sukkos and you don't have Dalad meaning. O she'ar mitzvah over. Oh, I know, it's Erev Pesach. You have no matzos. It's a time-bound mitzvah, right? It's Rosh Hashanah. You have no shofar. Ain't, how much do you have to pay, right? The guy knows he has you over a barrel. He tells you, you know, for $100,000, I'll sell you this esrog. Says the Rama, don't worry. Ein sarich levazvez alav hon rav. You don't have to bankrupt yourself. Ukimosha amru hamevazvez al yevazvez yoter mechomesh. As we know, broadly speaking, you're limited. You're not supposed to spend more than a fifth, 20% of your money on a mitzvah. Afilu mitzvah overet. Even if you're going to be mevatel the mitzvah, right? It's Erev Sukkos. This is your last chance to get a lulav. But the guy's asking you for an exorbitant amount of money. Says the Rama, you don't have to pay it. But then he says something really important. V'davka mitzvah saseh. That restriction of not spending more than 20% is only with respect to a mitzvah saseh, like lulav, like shofar, like matzah, avalota asay, but to avoid violating a lota asay, yitain kol mamono kodem sheyavor. Okay? If you have to pay $1 million to avoid eating basar b'chalav, says the Ramah, you have to. Now, why? Why is a lota asay so much more important, it seems, than an asay? Why is a mitzvah asay capped at 20%? And a lota asay is unlimited. So it seems to me, just intuitively, it seems to me that when you don't take a lulav, there's not a moment in time in which you're rebelling against God. When the first day of Sukkot passes, it turns out you missed a mitzvah. But when you eat meat and milk, when you eat basar b'chalav, in that moment, it's ki'ilu, you're challenging God. And therefore, to stop what looks like a rebellion against God, which only exists with a lota asay, so to stop that, the halacha is all your money. So it's not that an asay is less important than a lota asay, it's that an asay doesn't involve this one moment in time in which I'm rebelling against God by violating a black and white prohibition, right? When I don't take a lulav, there's not a moment when I did something wrong. It just happens to be that I didn't take a lulav. And therefore, mitzvah sases are capped at 20%. Lo tases are not capped at all, which leads us back to our case. And all the achronim asked the following question. How could it be that I can get the money back from my friend that I spend on the mitzvah of lo ta'amod al dam re'echa? It's a lo tasei. And a mitzvah's lo tasei is uncapped in terms of how much money I have to spend. And so it's terrible that I had to pay this guy $100,000 to jump into the river. But that's the din. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch passes. Again, the Raman, source number 8 in Yerodea, Kuf Nun Zayin, he says, V'im yuchal lahatzil atzmo b'chol asher lo, tzarich litein hakol v'lo ya'avor lo ta'aseh. Okay? That's the back end of source number 7, which is, for a lo ta'aseh, you have to spend all of your money. So everybody wants to know, if that's the case, if I have to spend all of my money on a lo ta'aseh, why can I reclaim the money for the lo ta'aseh of lo ta'amod al dam re'echa? And here, there's a very, very famous Rabbi Akiva Eger, which we'll look at quickly. Rabbi Akiva Eger says in source number 9, V'lo yavar lo taseh. He says, Hine midivrei tshuvat chavot yair. Originally, it was a chavos yair, mevuar. De'im hu lav she'ein bo maisa, have kimo la'avor al asay. Ve'ein sarich litein kol mamono. Says Rabbi Akiva Eger, the answer to our question is simple. It's true. Lo ta'amod al dam re'echa is a lo ta'aseh, but as we saw already in the Rambam, it's a lo ta'aseh she'ein bo maisa. There is no moment where you're rebelling against God. It's not like you're eating basar b'chalav, right? The incident passed and you didn't intervene. But it's not as if there was a moment where it was as if you said, yeah, this is what God wants. I'm doing the opposite. God doesn't want me to eat meat and milk. I'm eating meat and milk. Rather, this is like the case of an asay, where when the whole thing was over, somebody said, hey, shouldn't this guy have done something about it? But there wasn't a moment, since it's a lav she'ein bo maisa, it looks like an asay. And if it looks like an asay, you don't have to spend all of your money on it, says the Chavos Yair. You're capped by 20%. And therefore, you have the right to reclaim the money from the person who you saved. Because if you spent extra money, that was not required by the halacha. And therefore, again, it being a lav she'ein bo maisa changes our relationship with it and changes our obligations halachically. Okay, those were two interesting points. Now, I accidentally came across a tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer, which I found fantastic and fascinating. Tzitz Eliezer died, I think, only like 10 years ago. A modern Haredi posek, he was like the final word on all medical issues in Israel. I think he was the posek for Shaarei Tzedek. Now Rav Asher Weiss is the posek for Shaarei Tzedek. But these questions came to him. So I'll just give you the background. This is really a fascinating question, and we could discuss this for hours. There was a doctor, clearly a frum doctor, who had a patient whose family had signed a DNR, right? Do not resuscitate. And for whatever reason, the doctor was very frustrated by this because he thought he could save this person. Okay, so the doctor had a shaila. It actually was a doctor in Brooklyn who asked the shaila to Rav David Cohn, who then asked the question to the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay, and the question is, hey, if I do this, he said, if I intervene against the wishes of the family, I'm going to lose my medical license. And I'm going to get sued. On the other hand, this is lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. Literally, lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. And I want to save this person's life. Do I have to intervene and lose my job and lose all of my money? Or, is there another way out? Okay? So if you look in source number 2, I'm sorry, we're in source number 10. So the first paragraph was just the background that I gave you. Look at Bet. Biur divrei harama ba'or ha'chaim simatav reish nunvav, the one we saw, sheposek, sha'adam mechuyav lahafsid kol mamono, kidei shelo ya'avor alo ta'aseh, im hu rak bekum va'aseh, o afilu b'sheva al ta'aseh. Uma hadin b'zeh, kidei shelo ya'avor alo ta'aseh, delo tamor al damareach. What should this doctor do? So it's a long tshuva that Tzitz Eliezer plays with a whole bunch of heterim. And he gets to the end, and here he says something really, really important. He says, "Vahayisi mosif va'omer." This guy doesn't have to do it, he says. And I'm going to give you another reason. Sheyesh bichlal liton v'lomar, shekol hadin shel harama ba'orachayim, that you have to spend all of your money. Shetzarich levazvez kol mamono kidei shelo la'avor alo ta'aseh, ne'emar rak belo ta'aseh shebeino la'makom. Aval lo ta'ase shebein adam lachaveiro, ki lo ta'ase de lo ta'amor adam reyecha, he thinks the answer would be otherwise. Okay, so suggested Tzitz Eliezer that lo ta'ases, are for the most part bein adam lamakom. And bein adam lamakoms, those moments where we would come out and look like we're challenging God, there you have to spend all of your money. But the answer is, in relationships with neighbors, in Beinam Lachaveros, there are many, many more gray areas. And he says, in those cases, it could be that the rule doesn't apply. Aye, the Ramah says that it does. Okay, suggest that Tzitz Eliezer, if I could say it this way, that he thinks the Ramah got it wrong. The Ramah applied the regular din. Yeah, for a lo ta'aseh, you have to sacrifice all of your money. But the Tzitz Eliezer says that was never intended to apply to Bein Adam LaChaveros. It was only intended to apply to Bein Adam LaMakoms. Okay, that's a minor point. The point I love more is Yud Aleph, the very last paragraph of the Truva, I think it is. He says, but if you want to ask the following, you want to really know what the halacha is, this is a huge posek saying, if you really want to know what the halacha is, you know what you do? Upuk chaze ma'ama debar. Go out and see what people do. What's the minhag? What does Klal Yisrael do? Umeolami says, we never lo ra'inu shemishahu yachmir al atzmo levazvez kol mamono kidei lehishtadel lehatzilat chavero b'machala mesukenet. Ukedoma lezeh. He says it's simply not the case that when somebody walks into shul and says, God forbid, my daughter, God forbid, has cancer, she needs an operation, it costs this much money, you believe the person. He says, that's a case of lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. But we don't find people writing checks for $150,000 to cover the cost of a life-saving operation. So he says, it must be that that's not the halacha. We paskin against the Rama. You don't have to spend all of your money on lo ta'amod al dam re'echa. V'lo shamanu, he says in the second line, shechivu bekach, never found a bezdin or a posek who requires it. Ve'im kein, yesh lahachil al zed divrei shut whoever this is, Mari Chagaz, Shekose Vizel Lishano. Now listen to this one. This is really amazing. Vizek Klal Gadol Shahayam Mosad Biyadein. He says, here's a really important rule in halacha. Im halacha rofefet biyadcha, if you don't know what the halacha is, puk chaze ma'amo debar. Go out and see what religious Jews do. Ki pashutu asher ba'ahavat Hashem et amo Yisrael, God loves his people, yasir michsho midarchehem, v'lo yatu kol ha'olam achar hayachid, ilu svarato dechuya. He said, God wouldn't let us all get it wrong. If the halacha was that we have to pay for the operation of somebody else's child, then we would know that that's the halacha. And it's so against what our halachic instincts are nowadays. You know, Chaim Salvation wrote this really important piece, I don't know, 25 years ago, about the mimetic tradition, where he says, you know, in the old days, how'd you know what the halacha was? Well, you watch what your mother did in the kitchen and you knew the halachas of basar b'challav. And you watched how your father behaved and you watched how other Jews behaved and you knew it. And he said, then came World War II and the loss of that kind of tradition. And all of a sudden, everything was in an art scroll book. Right? It doesn't matter that my parents do this. I have to look it up. And here you see in Poskim, no. If everybody does something, then the assumption is it's correct. And not that you're going to show up and you just came back from yeshiva in Israel and you have this new thing that no one knows and everybody's wrong, right? Says the Tzitz Eliezer, we don't assume everybody's wrong. We assume everybody's right. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, he says, when somebody tells you, you know, I was at the Kotel Wednesday morning and a guy said to me, I need $1,000, not a penny less. It's not the halacha. I don't have to marry off his daughter. I really don't. This is a great guy I was standing next to him who made Aliyah like 30 years ago. He comes to the Kotel all the time. A really good guy. And he said to this guy, I have 10 kids. 6 are married. 4 are unmarried. I need $1,000 from you. Not a penny less. You know, it was a good moment at the Kotel. But the answer is we don't have to, you know, we don't have to spend more. Lo says the Tzitz Eliezer, though Talmud Amarecha doesn't require us, you know, to spend more than we would have to spend on other mitzvahs. Okay? That's the mitzvah. That's, again, starting with the Machlokas Rashi, it's just life-threatening situations. The Rambam, no, it's much broader. The Rambam editorializing about why Lo Talmud Amarecha is really, really important despite the fact that it's a lav she'en bo maisa and you don't get makos. My theory that the Rambam is responding to the anti-Semitic attack of the Good Samaritan, which Jews suffer for years, right? The question of how much money do you have to spend? The Ramah saying, no, for a low tase, it's unlimited. For an ase, it's 20%. The later postim saying, yeah, but there are distinctions to be made, right? Lo tamar al damrecha is a lav she'en bo maisa. If there's no moment where you're violating the Torah, then you don't have to spend all of your money. And Tzitz Eliezer saying, I know that's true, and therefore this doctor doesn't have to lose his medical license to save this person's life because nobody does it. And if nobody does it, that must be the halacha. Okay, all of this to get to the very end. The very end, hopefully, is there. This Chok lo ta'amod al dam re'acha actually exists in the laws of the state of Israel. That's the name. Okay, how cool is that? It was passed in 1998. Apparently, there was a time where the Knesset actually functioned and they could agree on basic things like we should pass a law called lo ta'amod al dam re'acha. It was sponsored by Hanan Porat, one of my personal heroes, a founder of my yeshiva. This is the law. You want to read, this is how you get. This is the first example we've ever had. We start with a pasuk. We get to legislation in the Knesset. Okay, it says, Chova al Adam lahoshit ezra la Adam hanimsa leneged einav. Okay, a person is obligated, I'm sorry to say it this way, to be a good Samaritan. Okay, it's really broad. Ekev irua pitomi. Something happened that wasn't expected. You're driving, there's a car accident. You can pull the woman out of the car. The law in Israel requires you to do it. Okay, if the person is besakana chamura umiyadit lechayav, it's immediate and severe danger to the life of another person. Okay, so it's Rashi, it's not the Rambam. It's not money, right? The law in Israel doesn't require me, you know, to break into my neighbor's house to shut off the water because it's flooding. The Rambam does, but that's not the law that we adopted. Okay. Here it's lishlomot gufo o lebriuto. It's his health. Ka'asher le'el yado lahoshitet hazra. Again, it has to be that you actually can do something, right? If you can't get her out of the car, you know, there's no point to it. And here's the big carve out. Mibli lehistaken o lisaken et zulato. Without you putting yourself in, we'll say, too much danger. Right? If the gas is leaking from the car after the accident, my guess is you're not obligated, you know, because the car might explode. But this is actually legislation. Now, look how cool it is. This you don't get in the Rambam or in Rashi. Now the law has to give you a way out or tell you what does it mean. So paragraph bet. Hamodia l'rishuyot o hamazik adam acher hayachol lahoshit et hazra hanidrashet. Yiruhu kimi shahoshit ezra linyan chogzeh. If you call the police, you have fulfilled your obligation. You are seen as a person who has done his obligation under the law of lo ta'amor adam reyacha. And now, because it's a law, the se'if zeh rishuyot, you know, entities who you can call include the following: Mishteret Yisrael, the police; Magen David Adom; Visherut HaKabaut; and the fire department. Those are the things. If you pick up the phone, you text, you call them, you are yotze your legal obligation under the civil law of the state of Israel, under the chok of lo ta'amor al dam reyacha. And just so you'll believe me, it's a longer law. I just skipped to the end. Apparently there was a guy named Binyamin Netanyahu who was the Rosh Memshala in 1998. There was the guy Tzachi Hanegbi, who was the Sar Mishpatim. There was a guy, Ezer Weitzman, who was the president of Israel. The guy, Dan Tichon, who was the Yoshev Rosh HaKnesset. They passed this law at that time. Now, it also has the legislative history, which we won't do, and I only put a tiny bit. But Hanan Parad got up in Knesset, and he said, Hatzaat chok ze ba'a ifo le'agen halacha yehudit zo b'chok ha'medina. Says Hanan Parad, I want to anchor this Jewish value of being a good Samaritan in the law of the state of Israel. Now, he knows this is crazy because it's almost impossible to enforce. It's a lav she'ein bo ma'isa. There's a reason why a lav she'ein bo ma'isa doesn't get makos, because you can't. It's hard to have witnesses to what you didn't do. Nevertheless, Hanan Parad convinced them all that the state of Israel should have a good Samaritan law on the book. My guess is it's never been applied. There's never been a person who's been fined, you know, for not helping a person. But I don't want to go too far, but I really feel like Hanan Parad, who I think the world of, knew the Good Samaritan thing and knew that it mattered that the modern state of Israel have a Good Samaritan law on the book, even if it's really, really hard to enforce. And the answer is, to the best of my knowledge, this law is still in force and effect in Israel. And the greatness is it's actually called the Chok of Lo Ta'amod Al Dam Reyecha, a law and a value that Judaism had well before other religions existed. All right, Yashkoch to everybody. Have a great, great Shabbos. And hopefully we're back on schedule for next week and going forward.
Ellie, does Israel's Ellie, good Samaritan prevent Ellie, you from being Ellie, sued when, Ellie, we have, when, we have, when you help Ellie. Someone?
Israel does not. As best I could tell, you're at risk when you help. Now, you could argue, so why do they have that law? I don't know. But as best I could tell, they don't have the second part of the Good Samaritan law, which is if you help a person and they sue you, that you're protected. I can't explain why not.
Ellie?
Yes.
Using the Tzitz Eliezer's rationale of Puk Chazida Amadabar, how then do you explain like the Parhel and Dover and those types of things with the Tzibur? Yeah.
I think he's saying, as a general rule, halachically, we can assume they're correct. I'm sure it's happened, and obviously you're pointing out to a situation. It could happen that the people are wrong, right? If I got someplace and everybody was driving on Shabbos, I wouldn't change my mind about driving on Shabbos. But I think if he's talking about a situation where, you know, there's a major machlokes, halacha lemaisa, what's the din? So the Tzitz Eliezer says, well, let's go outside. Let's go on the street. Not that psak halacha is a vote, but he's saying, you know the same thing, Jack. You don't want the halacha to be different. When somebody shows up to shul, you don't want to have to give him all of your money to be yotzei. So you're not in violation of lo tamar al dam ra'acha. It's a hard standard to apply. And I feel like the Tzitz Eliezer knows that. And he says, therefore, if it's so hard to apply, it simply can't be true.
Kelly, we have a background chat group, and I've been asked to rattle the Aliyah cage by suggesting to you that in the States, it's not yet Parshas Kedoshim.
Really? What's wrong with you? Don't tell me, Josh. I'm going to an Ofruf, which is why I'm in Yerushalayim now. And they're laning Achrei Mos and Kedoshim. And I will be coming after laning. Not because I'm protesting, it's just because I didn't like it that much the first time.
That's why there's no room for the covenant.
There are a lot of Arayas. So Josh, are you saying I should do a mitzvah from
Achrei Mos,
the parsha that you're up to? Is that the request?
Mazel Tov, Eli. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Next week.
No, I understand. It's not for this week.
You didn't disappoint David. David told me you would have some.
I would have what?
Good retort, and you did not disappoint him. A good retort to.
Yes, he wanted me to ask you, Ellie.
I have a good retort in the car on the way over. We were discussing this. Does it really matter what parsha it is? And I'm sorry to say, it doesn't. Right, Kriya Satorah is a nice thing, and it really is. But you know the joke about like the guy who shows up to shul and it's bar mitzvah parshas lech lecha, so that's what he lanes. It's not that crazy. All right.
The only other thing they told a story about.
I don't know what we're doing next week, but I'll see you then. Have a great
Shabbat Shalom, Chodesh Tov. Thank you. Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.